Now, I should probably scribble down some notes, shouldn't I? Because I have all this shit I want to talk about, and I'm going to forget what the fuck it all is. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present and the most likely third possibility. You are wrong and I am right. Greetings, my minions. It is I, the great one himself, from the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs. And this right here, what you are listening to, is the Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that hones in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. I've got that down pretty good, huh, Randy? In the control room over there, the lovely and adorable Randy, she's hanging out. After we've nuked the statist with the nuclear-tipped cruise missile, my intellect, she is the one who mans the 50-caliber machine gun and shoots any survivors. Remember, always double tap. Okay, I'm going to try to plow through a lot of stuff. In theory, we're recording this on Wednesday. What's today? The 19th. March 19th, 2014. I don't think an episode of Stating the Obvious came out on Monday, because I just came off of a really slam-bam theater gig, working my ass off, and I was not prepared for that. And so yeah, there was no Stating the Obvious on Monday, but somehow or another, I'm sure you will live through it. Anyhow, this is Stating the Obvious podcast, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. You can send us email, you can send us love mail, hate mail, you can send us praise, you can send us insults, you can send us naked pictures. You can send all of that to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. What was the third thing I was going to talk about? I had that on the list. Fuck. See, this is why I need to write shit down. I've already forgotten. I know, and I didn't tell you, of course. So let's start off here. I was standing here, we're getting ready to start recording this episode, and my brain is working because my brain works all the time, because that's what my brain does. And yesterday I was at a local restaurant and we had this cutish little waitress, and my friend and I were playing the game of, you know, guessing what her major is and how much of a failure she's going to be in life. So we made our guesses, and the next time she came by and I asked her what her major was, and she's majoring in art because she wants to be an art teacher. I'm going to be an art teacher. And then she's talking about, when people hear art teacher, they think that such bad things, but oh, I'm going to be an art teacher and I'm going to travel and I'm going to teach people art. And I just thought to myself, it's a good thing you're working on your waitressing skills, because you're going to need those. So another, very soon, you know, another Starbucks barista will graduate with her diploma in baristaing, because I'm going to major in liberal arts. Oh my God, I'm going to be an art teacher. And this is going to come back around in the next story I'm going to tell. We're going to come back to the failure of the education system. So anyhow, thinking about the failure... What the fuck am I stepping on? Alright. I should not eat chips in the recording studio, because I get chips on the floor and then I step on them and it hurts my little footsie. Aw. Oh, I need a hug. The fuck was I talking about? Oh yes, the art teacher bimbo. So anyhow, as we're standing here preparing for the show today, my little brain was working, and I started thinking about something that I had heard a while back and that I thought made sense and I agreed with. And I forget however many years ago I first heard this. But somebody pointed out that with the rise of computers and bringing computers into the school system, that at some point in the future, the shall we say, the average and the poor children would all be taught by computers, and that at some point having a real, actual human teacher was going to become something that only happened in the private schools and the elite schools and things like that. And so the public school system, the teaching would at some point be done by computers. And there was this vision of students sitting in these big rooms, all of them just looking at a computer and just doing self-testing and self-learning on the computers all day long. And that would be the education system. And it would, of course, become even shittier than it is now, because the students would have virtually no adult interaction. They'd have no real live person teaching them things. It would all just be learning off of a computer. And at the time, I thought this made a lot of sense. This was, like I said, years ago. At the time, I thought this made a whole lot of sense, and I envisioned that coming. And so, just thinking about all of this in my brain right now, that little prediction of the future popped into my mind, and it made me start thinking, why the hell has that not happened yet? And I very quickly realized why it hasn't happened yet, and it makes a lot of sense not only why it has not happened yet, but why it actually isn't going to happen. And the answer to that is quite simply the teachers' union. People who are public school teachers are some of the most unintelligent, useless, you know, coddled, babied, unskilled people in our society, right? These are people that, I want to be a public school teacher because I like children and I only want to work 9 months a year. And the teachers' unions are incredibly powerful. And the public school systems create this giant education industrial complex system in which all of these public school teachers who could not possibly get a job in the free market and who have no fucking useful skills, I mean, this is the only way those people can get jobs. If public school teachers were replaced by computers, all of these people, mostly women, would be out of work and completely unemployable. And the teachers' union, which makes its money from keeping those people employed in jobs that can be dumbed down to the point that they can keep the job and get raises and only work 9 months a year, the teachers' unions are not going to allow that to happen. And of course, the other problem with replacing low-paid, low-intelligence public school teachers with computers is that the computers will actually need intelligent people to keep them running and working, to update the software, to repair the computers when they break, to buy new computers when they get too old, all this other stuff. Those would, of course, be mostly men, and because they would have educations or degrees in or experience in computer technology, they would cost more money. So you would be replacing a large group of employees who don't make a whole lot of money, but certainly more money than they deserve, with a smaller group of employees who can command larger salaries and would therefore cost more money. Plus, you'd have to buy that many computers. At the time, the prediction of replacing public school teachers with computers sounded pretty logical and intelligent to me. But like I said, this was years ago and I was stupider then. Now, in retrospect, I realize not only why that hasn't happened yet, but why it's not going to happen. Because public school teachers have some of the cushiest jobs on the planet Earth, and there's no way in hell they're going to give that up, because they're stupid, but they're not stupid. Now let's talk about being stupid. Let's talk about being able to command. Let's talk about why my mouse is not working. There we go. All right. This is a longish story. There's a theater I work at, and the owner of the theater is a real fucking cocksucker. And everybody in town who is a theater person knows it. I've been told that there are message board threads, very extensive ones, ripping this guy a new asshole. I know most of the people who have worked at this theater do not ever want to go back. I go back only because I work there very part-time. So let me tell you folks out there a story. This is related to economics. This is related to what I talk about all the time, about how all the money you will ever have in your life belongs to other people, and how if you can create value for other people, then you get money in return, and how an ability to create value for other people allows you to dictate your terms. So here briefly is my history with this place, as I started working there at X amount of dollars an hour, and then they reduced me after a period of time to X amount of dollars minus $2 an hour. And I kept working there just because I like the work and I like the people, and even though the owner's a dick, I like theater and I like working there. So anyhow, I did that. There were changes made there, and for a while I didn't go back to the theater. They didn't call me back, and I was okay with that because I didn't really need the money. I enjoyed it, of course. Everybody enjoys money, and I enjoyed working there for the most part. Anyhow, flash forward to recent events, and they contact me, and they're like, hey, you know, we'd like you to come back. We really need blah, blah, blah. And this is the example of when you can create value for other people, you can dictate your own terms. So I wrote back and I said, yeah, sure. And my salary requirement, my rate is X number of dollars plus $1 an hour. Because if I'm going back, I'm going to get a raise, not just from where I was when I left, but from where I was when I started. Interestingly enough, they agreed to this, which I fully did not expect. Then I went in and I said, okay, so we're clear that I am making X amount of dollars plus $1 an hour, right? We're square on this. It's in the system. Yes, good. Here's the other thing. There is this particular job there, this thing that has to be done. It's done in a particularly unsafe manner, in my opinion. And I mean, I'm not a total pussy, but I'm a little bit of a pussy when it comes to my health and my safety. I'm not going to lie about it. I have some fucking limits. So there's this one job there, which, you know, nobody's died yet, but that doesn't mean nobody's going to die. I said, the other condition of my return is that this particular job right here, I don't do that job at all. I do not do this. I'll do pretty much anything else that needs to be done, but I do not do this. And if you don't agree with those conditions to my employment, that's cool. I will leave. And, you know, no hard feelings. It's fine. And they agreed. Now, the point here is that as an old dog, and old dogs are wiser, as an old dog, I can command my salary. I can say, these are my salary requirements. You will give them to me, or I'm not coming in. And I can say, these are things I'm not going to do, and you can take that or leave that. And because I have a skill set which is valuable and which is needed, I can make those demands. And I don't use the word demands. I don't mean that in a confrontational way, right? It's not walking in the door and demanding, you're going to give me this and you're going to blah, 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 or I'm going to kick your ass. So the demand, I use the word demand not in that sense, but it maybe requirement is a better word for it. A condition of employment might be a better phrase for it. But the point is, I have a skill set and a knowledge set and a level of experience that allows me to walk into a situation and dictate the terms of employment, or at least negotiate and agree on terms of employment, as opposed to those of you out there who, for example, are going to school to be art teachers. See, here's the thing. It's hard to replace me for what needs to be done at that theater, considering the years of experience I have in that space and the years of experience I have as a theater technician in general. To replace me is not impossible. Don't get me wrong. It's not impossible. Most of the theater people, but of course, it's really difficult because, number one, fresh theater people who've just come out of college. I did theater in college. Oh God, I hate those people. The only thing worse than people who did theater in college is people who did theater in high school. I have high school kids. Well, at our high school, this is how we do things, and they're trying to tell me how to hang a fucking light. I just want to kill them. Just shut up. Shut the fuck up. Do you realize you were taught theater by one of the dumbest people on the planet? I mean, who the fuck teaches theater in high school? People who can't get real jobs in theater. All right, anyway. The fuck was I talking about? Randy, what was I talking about? Yeah? Yes, art majors. Unlike people who... Okay, yes, how difficult it is to replace me. It's not impossible. So you could find somebody who knows less than I know and would be happily willing to work for less. But you're going to get less. Most of the people, if not, dare I say, all of the people in the local area who do theater who know as much or more than I do would demand more money than I demanded. And that's a fact. And of course, a large number of theater people in Fort Collins know what a shithole this place is to work for only because of the owner. The only aspect of this place that is a shithole is the owner. I mean, that's it. If he was out of the equation, this could be like just a wonderful theater to work at. It really makes me cry. If I were in charge of, if I were the tech director / stage manager of this place and didn't have to deal with an asshole owner, this would be the greatest theater to work at ever. But it's not, because the guy's a dickhead. Anyway, so I could be replaced, but not that easily. And the fact that I'm not easily replaced allows me to negotiate for what my salary will be, and allows me to negotiate for what my job duties will and will not be, and allows me to do that from a position of power where I actually have a reasonable expectation of getting those demands met, you know, in return for whatever demands the theater may have of me. And, you know, they like show up at this time and work the, that, yeah, absolutely. So there's negotiation in there. Again, I'm not, it's not demanding like do this or I kick your ass. It's a negotiation. My experience and my knowledge allows me to negotiate a contract, an employment contract. You kids out there who, for example, are going to college for teaching art don't seem to recognize that the number of people who can teach art is pretty huge. And by going into something which requires virtually no intelligence and no skill set, and something that can be done by, you know, the average homeless person, means that you are not going to be in a position at any point in your life to negotiate a contract like that. So that means you're going to be stuck getting paid whatever somebody chooses to pay you, most likely a public school. And it's not going to be that much. And this girl is going to wonder why she's going to be a waitress for the rest of her life to support her art teaching habit. She also mentioned, hang on a second.
I got to do something over here. It's not jacking off or anything like that. I know that's what you're thinking, but it isn't.
She mentioned that she's selling some of her paintings. I should have banged her, but I should have found out more just to check out her paintings to see what she's selling. But I also have to wonder if she's selling her paintings at anything that allows her to actually make a profit on them, or if she's just dumping them on the market at $10 each or something because she thinks like many people do, well, I'm getting paid for this, even though I'm taking a loss, that's a good thing. Which, of course, is not going to allow you to stay in the business very long. Stay into business very long? Did I say that? I think I did. You know, this whole language thing, it's like math. It's part of the patriarchy. It was just designed to oppress women. So at the theater, this theater is also known for its abuse of actors and interns. They run people ragged. They get the actors in there and they make the actors do double duty as costume designers and lighting designers. And of course they work the box office and all this other stuff. And so they run some people. They've also got this poor kid in there, college kid, who thinks he knows more than he really does know. He's an okay guy. However, I mean, he's an okay guy. And he's the lighting guy and he's an intern. And he told me he's on his third week of 12 to 16 hour days with one day off a week. And they're killing the poor kid and they're running him ragged. And when we got around to doing this job that I told the theater people I was not going to do, he says, okay, so we got to do this. How do you want to do this? Do you want to do it or do you want us to switch off? And I said, I don't do this. And he's like, what do you mean? I don't do this. That's in my contract working here. I do not do this. It's all you. And he started giving me shit. He's like, well, what, are you scared? I'm like, no, I'm not scared. I'm older and smarter than you. I have skills. You are an intern. You agreed to come here and work for room and board. You are working 16-hour days for free. And you have not slept, and we've been working all day long. You probably didn't sleep much last night. You're so tired you're about to fall over, as am I. And you're about to go do this relatively dangerous thing on very little sleep. See, I'm not going to do a relatively dangerous thing on very little sleep. Because I'm old. I have wisdom. I have life experience. I have a skill set that allows me to dictate the terms of my convenience. You, as a member of the medicated generation, as a member of the smartest generation ever, have been duped into believing that internships, otherwise known as working for free, are somehow or another going to further your career. And so you are here allowing this asshole to fucking abuse the shit out of you because you think that working for free and being abused is going to further your career. It's not. Moral of the story here, for all of you little college kids out there, do not take internships. Internships are a fucking waste of your time. Internships are a way for old people to get free slave labor. I know you've been told that being an intern at this place over here is going to look good on your resume. It's not. First of all, if you're getting any kind of degree in liberal arts, you're not going to get a fucking job anyway. It doesn't matter what's on your resume. You're going to be waiting tables or working as a barista for a really long time. So it does not fucking matter what's on your resume. And if you're going to college for one of the STEM fields, don't take a motherfucking internship, because if you're getting those kind of skills, even before you graduate, you can start using that shit. Get a fucking job that pays you. Right. I got my electronics degree from a technical institute, ITT Technical specifically, and I was in the top of my class, and even before I graduated, I had already secured a paying job with the company that was going to be my employer after I got out. I was, I want to say 5, maybe 6 months before graduation, I was already working at this place in the research, in the R&D, research and development department, doing shit, using what I had learned, and getting paid for it. See, getting paid for things is the key here. If your education only allows you to go work places for free, then your education didn't have a lot of value. Now you may say, oh, I don't have my degree yet. Doesn't matter. I mean, if this college education that you're getting is so wonderful, even after the first year of college, if you don't have some kind of fucking skill set that allows you to actually get paid for doing something other than pouring coffee or waiting tables, you need to stop and question the value of this college education that you're paying for. I know you're not going to listen to me because I know you don't know anything. You're a white man. You work for a living. You're not a princess like I am. You're a part of the patriarchy. I'm going to get free. I'm going to work for free. I'm going to get internships. I'm going to work for free. And then one day, suddenly, I'm going to be so famous because I'm going to be an art teacher or I'm going to be a fashion consultant. I'm going to major in international relations. That's my new favorite major, is international relations. I still don't know what the fuck that even means. There's a fucking degree in international relations. They have that at CSU. I know people who are majoring in that. I need to look that up on the CSU website and see what classes you actually take to get a degree in international relations. Now, to the art teacher girl's credit, she's going to Front Range Community College, not to CSU. So she's not paying money for an education, but at least she's not getting fucked over at the financial levels that CSU would be fucking her over. So she's not entirely stupid. I'm ragging on her and making fun of her and doing my usual I'm an asshole shtick. She could be dumber. She's really cute too. I really gotta lower my standards when it comes to girls. This is my biggest fucking problem. I get laid a lot more often if I just lower my fucking standards. Speaking of girls, I just started watching. I mentioned a couple episodes ago, I just started rewatching for the fourth time All Creatures Great and Small, the best television series ever made. Did the first three episodes of that. Oh, it's so brilliant. God, I love that show. And then the other thing I started watching, and I'm about to start via Netflix, and I throw this out because you'll be hearing more about this in the future, of course. I just finished off Spartacus, the last season of Spartacus. Here's a spoiler. In the end, everybody dies. I'm about to start, American Horror Story and, God damn it, Game of Thrones. Because my friends who have similar taste have told me that I'm going to enjoy both of those. So I'm going to be watching those. The other series I started rewatching, because I have all this time to watch TV. It sounds like all I do is watch television. It really isn't. I watch TV while I'm eating. And occasionally I do eat. I always know I'm having good productive days when I have to stop what I'm doing and ask myself, hey, have you had any fucking food today? Should you go eat something? I started rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh my god, that series is so fucking good. So speaking of girls, the way I discovered Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the little Willow chick. The girl who plays her, it's Allison somebody. She is so adorable. I was like in love with her. So I was totally in love with Willow. And so Willow. So the Willow show, the Willow TV show featuring Buffy the Vampire Slayer was on really late at night, like 1 o'clock in the morning or some shit. So I would videotape it. And then the next day I would fast forward through the commercials, of course, but I would also fast forward through all the scenes that didn't actually have Willow in them. So whenever Willow was on the screen, I would just watch that and drool on myself because I'm in love with Willow. And after a while watching these, I started going, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here? And then I'd rewind and actually watch the parts of the episode that didn't have Willow in them. And after about three or four episodes, I became totally hooked on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's a great series. The last season, I thought, was not as strong as the previous seasons, and the final episode I felt was not that strong, but it certainly was not as bad as the final episode of Battlestar Galactica, the greatest ass-fucking I've ever gotten from a TV series in my life. I still have fucking major anger issues about the final episode of Battlestar Galactica. What the fuck? If I could wipe out the memory of that episode from my mind, I would do it. Ugh. I feel violated. I feel like a feminist who, you know, had sex with somebody and then 3 months later decided I really didn't feel like having sex that night, so now I'm going to accuse that person of rape. I just feel violated. I mean, I did consent to watch the final episode of Battlestar Galactica, and now I regret it. I've been raped. Anyway, I wish I could remember what the third thing I was going to talk about was. And I think I've exhausted all of those avenues. Randy, how are we doing on time? Sweet. I could just do some shit from the pile. The fuck was I going to talk about? It'll come to me. It'll come to me. I said come. I've been watching Beavis and Butthead also. Did I talk about the Beavis? Yes, I did talk about Beavis and Butthead, where they photocopy the money. I can't believe nobody's ever thought of this before. Yeah, this is totally cool. Yeah. All right. Yes. Whew. Here we go. This is back from Valentine's Day. Let's talk about girls for a minute. Let's talk about how I need to lower my standards if I want to get laid anytime in the near future, because women today are so fucking stupid and shallow. 53, this is from the Rocky Mountain Collegian, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, the day when the corporations give you permission to spend money on the person you claim to love. Oh, you're so lucky. You have permission from the corporations to buy things for people. Did you know? 53% of women said that they would end their relationship if they didn't get something for Valentine's Day. Now, of course, women claim that they are emotional and loving and touchy-feely and all this other shit and not materialistic. Yet 53% of the women said this. The rest of the women didn't say anything. Now, and of course, oh wait, these are statistics, and they could be lies, and there's no source for them. Actually, there's a source listed. It says the source is Retail Advertising and Marketing Association. Let's do a quick lesson again, because I can never do enough of these. I can never, ever talk enough to try to educate you stupid people out there, especially those of you who are statist, about how to interpret statistics. As I have said probably about 10 gazillion times, even with common core math and even with woman math, people think, they have this idea that, well, if it's math, it must be true. Right? 2 + 2 = 4, and that must be true, and you can't argue with it. So math has a truth value, and you can't argue with it. Well, statistics are numbers, and numbers are math. Therefore, because math has truth value, numbers have truth value, and because numbers have truth value, statistics have truth value. And of course, as I've said before, this is not true. Statistics do not have anything to do with math. Statistics are not math in the sense that statistics do not have a truth value. Statistics can be accurate in the sense that the math can add up. You can have percentages add up to 100%. You can have, you know, correct math. You can have correct addition and subtraction and percentages and decimals and all this other stuff without having any kind of truth in the sense that 2 + 2 = 4, and that is true. The statistics I'm reading to you are from the Retail Advertising and Marketing Association Valentine's Day Consumer Intentions and Actions Survey. First of all, what we don't know here is, how is this survey conducted? Telephone, email, internet, in person, secret ballot, was it videotaped, was it audio taped, was it conducted by young cute girls, was it conducted by old creepy looking men, right? We know nothing at all about the methodology of this survey. And if you think the methodology of a survey does not affect the results, then you're too stupid to be listening to this podcast, and you should leave right now. The other thing we don't know anything about, without going out and searching for this survey, now in theory, this survey in its full context may be available on the internet. I might be able to find this and learn this information, but I don't really care because that's not relevant. The point here isn't to do this. The point is to explain to you how you need to think and analyze information when you see some shit like this. Like, well, this survey says this. We know nothing about, from the information presented here, how many people were included in this survey. Was this a survey of 10 women? Was it 100 women? Was it 1,000 women? Was there a particular age range? Was it a wide age range? Was it a narrow age range? Was it conducted at a shopping mall? Was it conducted outside of a church? Right? All of these things are going to influence the decision. As I've said before, if you do a survey and your survey takes place outside a Catholic church, and the question you ask is, and you ask this question to women coming out of the Catholic church, if your question is, do you believe that 16-year-old girls should have a right to get a federally funded abortion without their parents' knowledge, yes or no? You're going to get one set of answers. If, on the other hand, you conduct your survey outside of a shopping mall and you ask women, do you believe that a woman's right to reproductive choice should be protected? you're going to get a completely different set of answers. But then both of these people are going to show up, and the one set is going to say, look, our survey says that 87% of women are opposed to abortion. The other side is going to show up and say, our survey says 87% of women are in favor of abortion. And the point is, this is not math, because both of these surveys are completely true in the sense that both of these surveys are reflecting accurate information that was gathered by the survey takers. So how you do the survey, where you do the survey, yada, 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 so forth and so on, gives you the answer you're looking for. And if you think people don't do surveys intending to get the answer they're looking for, then you're stupider than you look. Nobody goes out and does a survey and intending to get answers opposite of what they're looking for. So who did this survey about Valentine's Day? The Retail Advertising and Marketing Association. What do you think the Retail Advertising and Marketing Association does? Just a wild guess. Retail marketing and advertising. I bet they do marketing and advertising. Now, if you do marketing and advertising, you probably want people to respond to your marketing and advertising and buy stuff. So oddly enough, this survey conducted by the Retail Advertising and Marketing Association found that 53% of women said they would end their relationships if the person they're in a relationship with did not spend money on them for Valentine's Day. Let me see if I get this right. An association that makes money by getting people to spend money did a study that found out that women said if men don't spend money on them, the women are going to end their relationships with those men. Wow. So today, the Used Car Dealers Marketing Association did a survey that found that 53% of women said if their boyfriends did not buy them a used car from Bob's Used Cars, they would break up with their boyfriends. Really? Well, that's awfully convenient. So, I don't want to make the argument that women aren't shallow, because women are pretty fucking shallow. But I'm just going to make the argument that when you read a statistic like 53% of women are going to break up with their boyfriends if their boyfriend doesn't spend money on them, you got to look at the source of where that statistic is coming from. Statistic is coming from an association, whatever in the fuck that is, that wants you to spend money. And Valentine's Day is, of course, entirely about spending money. Also, it says down here, jewelry stores make $2.2 billion annually in Valentine's revenue. And of course, this is why Valentine's Day is important, because jewelry stores make $2.2 billion in revenue. And it says here, the average consumer spends $116.21 on gifts. Again, there's, how did they get this number? Perhaps the methodology can be found if I go looking for it. I don't care. But again, when you read something like that, think about it. I mean, how do they know how much the average consumer spent on Valentine's Day gifts? How do they know when do they just ask people? Are they somehow tracking this? I mean, who knows? Average Valentine's Day spending, $13.19 billion. If this ain't a corporate holiday, I don't know what it is. Cards exchanged annually, 180 million. That's a lot of dead trees. Whatever happened to saving the earth? Whatever happened to recycling? Right? We don't want to buy books because it destroys the earth, but we buy paper cards. I don't get people who exchange paper cards really kind of annoy the fuck out of me. It's one thing if you're sending a thank you card for something specific. because to me that requires a little above and beyond. You know, you do something nice for somebody, they send you a thank you card. Okay, that's cool. But just this mass mailing out of things like Halloween cards, Valentine's Day cards, Christmas cards, just Easter cards. I love it when people who are atheist send me Easter cards. What the fuck is wrong with you? Are you people so goddamn brainwashed by the corporations that you're sending me a fucking card on a goddamn religious holiday when you're a fucking atheist? And I'm a fucking atheist. I mean, what in the fuck is wrong with you brainwashed fucking drones? Oh, you're brainwashed drones. You're statist. I answered my own question. I'm also out of coffee. Bummer. Bummer, dude. That was Valentine's Day. Oh, I have so much to do. So much. My to-do list is huge. Yeah, it's huge. That's what she said. Raising awareness. 1 billion rising. This is also from the Rocky Mountain Collegian on February the 14th, 2014. Old Town Square will be the home to a flash mob Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Dancers will be dancing for the cause 1 billion rising in order to raise awareness about violence against women. Quote, the power of dance is incredible. You can join and connect with other individuals while raising community awareness and gaining personal empowerment. There is something about a community being out there together, and although each individual is challenged, they can come together and do something great. Unquote, said Audrey Swenson, coordinator of the Sexual Assault Research Team, Peers for Poudre School District, and Sexual Assault and Victim Advocate Center. Holy shit. That's a person with a liberal arts degree. This is a person who cannot get a fucking job creating value anywhere in the world. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm the coordinator of Sexual Assault Resources Team, Peers, and Poudre School District and Sexual Assault and Victim Advocate Center. Wow. Just wow. That's some feminist analysis right there. Let's do some boy analysis now. If this bitch had to actually do anything that involved actually creating value for other humans in order to get paid, she would die. This is a classic example of what I'm talking about when I point out that statists are idiots. First of all, this woman, of course, has no interest at all in ending violence against women. And of course, it's only violence against women. Violence against children, perfectly okay. Violence against men, perfectly okay. Violence against the brown people in the Middle East when you kill them with flying robots, totally fucking cool. Absolutely no problem with that. Killing those people, fine. Being violent against those people, fine. Putting lots of black men in prison for drugs, totally cool, no problem. Chinese people working for 50 cents an hour, building iPhones, jumping off of buildings and killing themselves, we're totally okay with that. The only thing that's actually bad here is violence against upper middle class white women in North America. That's what we have to end. Now, how are we going to end this? Well, we're going to end this with the power of dance. Because you see, the power of dance is incredible. It's incredible. The power of dance lacks credibility. That's why they're going to use dance in order to end violence against women. Because the word incredible means lacking in credibility. This is a liberal arts degree. She's saying something is incredible. She's saying it is not credible. That's why we're going to use this in order to effect a change. If you're going to use a word, know what the fucking word means. But you can't because you have a liberal arts degree. And of course, language is just a tool of the patriarchy designed to oppress women. You can join and connect with other individuals while raising community awareness and gaining personal empowerment. So let's say that right now there's a woman in the room. Let's say Randy was in the room here with me, and I have a stick and I'm beating Randy with the stick. So I'm hitting her. I'm doing physical violence to her body. I'm hitting her. Meanwhile, over in Old Town Square, three feminists and two femisimp hipster wannabes start dancing. I'm suddenly going to feel the power of them dancing, and I'm going to stop hitting Randy with the stick and realize what a bad thing I'm doing, and magically change my ways as the patriarchy melts out of my body. Now, does this sound like a reasonable and logical scenario to you? Of course not. The reason that this stupid feminist cunt is using the power of dance to stop violence against women is because the power of dance does not stop violence against women. And if violence against women were stopped, then what's this bitch's name? Audrey Swenson would no longer have a job. Audrey Swenson only has a job right now because violence against women and sexual harassment and whatever else she's fucking raising awareness for actually exist. If those things stop happening, then you don't need advocacy groups like this one to raise awareness, and this whole fucking, we're going to raise awareness. Oh, God. You know, raising awareness is a substitute for doing something. It's that fucking simple. If you're raising awareness about anything, it's because you're not doing anything about it. People actually do things about shit don't have to raise awareness. Okay. If your tire on your car goes flat, you can raise all the fucking awareness about the flat tire you want. You can mail out flyers. You can hold a fucking flash mob dance party in Old Town Square. You can form an association. You can get some interns and have them work 16 hours a day. You can do all this shit. You can raise all kinds of fucking awareness. The flat tire is still going to fucking be there. The flat tire is going to be there until somebody gets the fucking jack, jacks up the car, takes off the fucking lug bolts, pulls off the flat tire, sticks a new tire on there, puts the lug bolts back on, and jacks the car down. The flat tire will fucking be there until somebody actually does something about it. Raising awareness about the flat tire does not fix the flat tire. Raising awareness about violence against women, and by women we mean upper to middle class white women in North America, raising awareness about violence against upper middle class white women in America, in North America, does not do anything to prevent this from happening. It simply ensures that people like Audrey Swenson have jobs that don't require them to be very intelligent, and therefore jobs that they can do with their liberal arts degree that doesn't really confer any useful skills upon them. SAVA, which I assume is the Sexual Assault and Victim Advocate Center. And why are we advocating for victims? Yeah, we're going to advocate for you victims. I want to be a victim so I can have an advocate. Anyway, and of course, organizations like this, they have to create victims. Because again, without victims, these organizations don't exist. If there aren't any women getting beat, if there aren't any women on the upper middle class white women in North America being on the receiving end of violence, then this organization has no reason to exist. The SAVA statistics, which of course are not cited in any way whatsoever in this article. Again, we just talked about how statistics are concocted to get the result that the person doing the statistics wants to get. SAVA statistics state that across the United States, 1 out of 4 women and 1 out of 6 men will experience sexual assault. Really? And so then why isn't anybody doing anything about this? And who's doing all this sexual assaulting? And where did these statistics come from? and how are they compiled? And of course, none of that matters. What matters is that we're going to use the power of dance. Because you see, although each individual is challenged, and I can't disagree with that, I guarantee you everybody who participated in this flash mob was challenged. Oh yes, they are challenged. I'm challenged. Is there any coffee left in this cup? There's a little bit in the bottom. Hang on. Yes, it's getting warm too. Yes, they're challenged, but they can come together and do something great. So they did this little flash mob. I'm assuming they did it and wasn't there. My question in these situations is, as always, okay, so you're going to do your flash mob. After you did your flash mob, how many women who are on the upper middle class white women in North America who are on the receiving end of violence are no longer on the receiving end of violence? How many actual cases of violence against women did your little handicap challenged flash mob dancing party prevent? And of course, the answer is zero, because, to repeat myself ad nauseum, the point of this dance party flash mob was not to prevent violence being done to upper middle class white women in North America. The purpose of this was to raise awareness that it's happening so that people will volunteer their time and give their money to the Sexual Assault Resource Team Peers for Poudre School District and the Sexual Assault and Victim Advocacy Center. This little dance party has nothing to do with preventing violence against upper middle class white women in North America. The purpose of this was to make people aware that Audrey Swenson's organizations need money and donations of free labor so that Audrey Swenson can continue working at a place that, you know, where she can get paid for her non-existent skill set. Have I beat that dead horse enough fucking times? What do you think, Randy? Are we good here? I don't think I can wring any more blood out of that fucking turnip. Let's kill this. Let's do violence against this podcast and let's bring it to an end. Actually, I don't have to keep both in sight. I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. Everything I have said in today's podcast is 100% true. There is nothing I have said that is in factual error. Think I'm wrong? Prove it.
Sure. Oh my God, like, totally.